Well, good morning, LCC. Right before we're going to open the word of the Lord this morning, I want to take this time to just teach you a very, very short song. It's a declaration, and it goes along with what I want to continue to talk about this morning. It's very simple. It goes like this. I will choose Christ, I will choose love, I choose to serve. I give my heart, I give my life, I give my all to you. Can we try it? I will choose Christ, I will choose love, I choose to serve. I give my heart, I give my life, I give my all to you. One more time, I will choose Christ.
I will choose Christ. I will choose love. I choose to serve. I give my heart. I give my all. I give my life to you. Give my life to you, Jesus, I lay down. I give my life to you. I will follow you, my King. And I give my life to you.
Hallelujah. Well, kingdom greetings, LCC. And this morning, I give God the glory. And once again, it's a great opportunity for me to spend this time with you in sharing God's word. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you. And Father, we have made the declaration that we will choose you. We're choosing you right now, as a matter of fact. We're choosing to follow you. We're choosing to serve you. And as for me in this church, God, we will walk. We will follow you. We will walk after your footstep. So Holy Spirit, this morning, as I open your word, I ask, Lord, that you would reveal to our hearts the things that we need to know. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that our spirit will be encouraged, our body will be touched, and our soul will be refreshed. I give you room in the next couple of minutes to come and teach us the things that you want us to know, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. And if you agree, you said, Amen. All right, so last week, I was talking about the importance of defining a disciple. You know, and we all have been called by Christ to be his disciple. And last week, we addressed one of the questions. And it was, what is a disciple? What is it, a disciple? You know, if we are going to make disciple, we must first of all know what they are. We must first of all be able to grasp the ideologies around what a disciple of Christ is. And of course, not only we must know what a disciple is, but we also must know the cost there is to be a disciple. You see, it's not cheap to be a disciple. Now, I want you to remember this question. What did it cost Jesus? What did it cost Jesus? to came for us, to came after us? What did it cost Jesus to save you from your sins? What did it cost Jesus to restore relationship between us and the Father? What did it cost him? Think about this for a moment. What did it cost Jesus for me to be whole again? What did it cost Jesus for me to be healed, to be restored, to be forgiven? And I hope by the time we're done with this message, if you don't already know the answer, and I'm sure most of you would already know the answer, you would know that it cost Jesus everything to come after us. You know, I read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus called out the disciples, Peter, John, and James, particularly first time. He told them, he said, hey, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. I taught you a song earlier. It's a very simple song. It says, I will choose Christ. I will choose to follow him. I will choose to identify with him. Last week, I asked all of you, what do you say? How do you define a disciple? And most of you give me some great answers. A disciple is a student. A disciple is an imitator. A disciple is one who follows Christ. You know, and when we read Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, in just that verse, we can conclude that a disciple is one who is committed to follow Jesus. So are you a disciple of Christ? Jesus said, come follow me. A disciple knows and follow Christ. A disciple is one also who is committed to be changed by Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, that person become a new creation. So therefore, that person is giving room to the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, from the day they give their life to the Lord, to become a new creation. Number three, a disciple is one who is being on a mission with Jesus. A disciple does not compromise. That's what we talked about last week. A disciple does not compromise the mission of Christ. We have been called to build our lives and build the church and do the church on the solid foundation, the Word of God. I told you something last week and I'm going to repeat it again. Truth does sound like hate to those who hate the truth. You see, a disciple of Christ, when we study the Word of God, we can come to the conclusion that much of the traits that resonate from a disciple of Christ is grounded in many different characteristics. For example, and a disciple is faithful. A disciple of Christ doesn't cheat people. A disciple of Christ is... Some of you guys give me some words. I'm just giving you some a reminder of what we talked about last week. And today I want to continue to look at some of the traits or some of the characteristics of a disciple of Christ. And also I want to talk about what the Bible says the cost is to follow Christ as a disciple. You know, I read in Matthew, in Acts chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, it says, quote, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christian. Acts chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. So I've said it before. You should never have to identify yourself as a Christian. Mm-mm. The first time the word Christian was mentioned in the Bible, it appeared in Acts chapter 11. And it was people from the outside of the church that look at the life of the Christians, of the followers. Actually, the word was the way they used to call them, the followers of the way, because they didn't know what was going on. But the Pharisees and other people knew. They could tell the disciples weren't living their lives. They were following somebody. And their message was right. Was very simple. Repent from your sins. You know, the word disciple comes from the Greek word mates, which can be rendered as students and followers. Someone who is devoted to follow someone's footsteps. A disciple is someone who gives their life to a master. You know, this definition actually helps us to paint a picture that can't be copied and modeled. A disciple, when you look at a disciple of Christ, you should be able to see the way that person is living. You should see what I say? You should see it. You should see it. You know, to be a Christian means to be a disciple. A disciple. There are many Christians who are not disciples. Now, once again, this is a truth. This is a fact. There are many Christians who go to church. There are many people. I mean, I actually know somebody, devoted guy to a church. But the more I get to know that person, I realize, you know what? They do need an encounter. They do need to follow Christ. You can't pretend to follow Christ. You can't pretend to be a Christian and not following Him. Not obeying His commandments. You know, one of the traits today I want us to be reminded is a disciple is a learner. A disciple is a learner of his master, his or her master. You know, a disciple is they are seeking to understand and grasp the integrity of the one to whom they follow. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 16, "Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent to him." You see, a disciple follow. A disciple watch. Are you following Christ? Are you getting in the Word? I encourage you once again today, you need to read Mark, Matthew, Luke to find what Jesus, oh my goodness. I think Kendra was telling me this week as we're praying for Israel, and how about this generation? They're like, well, why are we so focusing on Israel? Well, I mean, why in the world would we so concerned about Israel? It's because there's a generation, if not generations, that have fallen away from the Bible. People don't learn the Word of God anymore. Even the church, we don't read the Word of God. And that's why I'm calling us to go back to the original. This is how we do the church. So a disciple, they follow. A disciple knows the Word of the Master. That's why if we call ourselves Christians, and I tell you, in the next generation, in the next decades, or when, I mean, today, even as we speak, more than ever, we need to know God's Word. More than ever, we need to know Jesus' Word. And how would I know His Word? If I don't read it for myself. If I don't meditate on it. Not only that, if I don't do what it says. You see, knowing the Master is not merely comprehending content. Meaning, knowing Jesus is not just knowing these up here in our head. But rather, it's grasping after an intimacy that transcends ordinary sight. You see, when I know Jesus, knowing Him has more to do with just reading scriptures. If I read the scriptures and I don't apply them in my life, I'm fooling myself. I read in John chapter 17, verse 3, "And this is the way you have eternal life," Jesus said, "to know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth." This is the only way to eternal life. Yes, confess Jesus as your Lord. That's a wonderful thing. But it doesn't stop there. Give a chance, give a chance to the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Read the Bible. Apply the Word of God in your life. He says, this is the way to eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. You see, fundamentally, this means that there is a shift in the worldview that has the gospel as the basis of seeing all of life. You see, this verse, this is what it means. Anybody who knows God and based their life on the Word of God, your worldview will be different. The way you see the world, even political situation, as the world's going crazy, news of wars and nations rising against a nation, or everything you go through life, you will have a kingdom perspective. You know, I read from the Apostle Paul, he was very adamant in saying that due to the gospel truth in the work and person of Jesus Christ, believers are not to be conformed by this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of their mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. A disciple of Christ take on the thought patterns of Christ. A disciple of Christ take the affection of Christ. A disciple of Christ love what Christ loves. A disciple of Christ hate what Christ hates. Does Christ hate people? No, he doesn't. Does he hate sin? Yes, he does. Does Christ love everybody? Yes, he does. Is Christ a radical? Yes, he is. Did Christ stand for what he believes? Yes. You see, a disciple of Christ also takes on Christ's convictions that is shown in the Bible. How would you know Christ's conviction if you don't read them? How would you know you're sinning if you don't know the truth? You see, and I know nowadays everybody's trying to redefine the truth. You can't redefine the truth. I mean, everybody's talking about your truth, his truth, my truth. There's only one truth. The Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Apart from him, there is no other truth. There is no other way to God. There is no other way to eternal life. You know, our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. A disciple imitate Christ. A disciple of Christ imitate the thought pattern of Christ. That's why I think there is a book, Joyce Meyer, it's an old book, Joyce Meyer wrote it, The Battlefield of the Mind. You see, if Satan can win the battle up here, if he can make you think, if he can make you believe you're nothing, if he can make you believe you can't do it, he got you. If Satan can make you believe you're a failure, he gets you. That's why as a disciple of Christ, as a follower of Jesus Christ, our thought patterns must be the thought of Christ. The gospel is sufficient and it is enough. It is relevant. It's not just merely the foundation curriculum for a disciple, but what we call the overarching curriculum. The gospel is enough. The gospel cover our lives. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. And you shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for I know that's the only way for salvation. It is the power that saves every soul. I am not ashamed of it. I'll challenge you today. Be a learner. Learn from Christ. Learn how he does life. Learn from him if you're married, how you treat your wife. Learn from him if you're a kid, how you respect your parents. You know, another point, a disciple is a follower of Christ. A disciple is a worshiper of Christ. I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It says, a disciple sees all of life as an opportunity to worship God. You see, we all face trials and tribulations. As long as we're breathing on this earth, there will always be things that will always after your joy, your peace, you know, your relationship. And of course, you know it already, Satan is always after your relationship. He's always after your relationship with your father. He's always after your relationship with your, you know, your fellow brothers. In Luke chapter 4, verse 6, there's an encounter. Jesus, when he was fasting 40 nights and 40 days, there's an encounter from verse 5 and 6. It says, then the devil took him up to and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in one moment of time. He said, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them. The devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. You see, believe, something for us to understand that God is in control. God is sovereign. He sees everything that's going on. But remember, in the garden, he gave authority to Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve give that authority to the devil. So the devil rules the heart of men unless they turn away from their sin and serving God. So therefore, yes, why all these hard things happening in our world? Why all these hatreds? Why all this hate? Why? Well, I tell you, it's because the heart of men needs the light of Christ. And Satan is ruling the world. Satan is killing, stealing, and destroying. But the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, he came to destroy the work of the enemy. And that is something for sure. You know, when you watch a movie, for instance, a bad guy, he never wins at the end. And Satan, he knows he'll never win at the end. Jesus said, the scriptures say, verse 6 in Luke chapter 4, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. You see, a disciple of Christ worship God. You know, there are people, they worship themselves. They worship their things. This morning, I'm going to challenge you. May the Lord open your eyes to see the idols in your life. The things that takes the place of Christ. The things that takes the time of Christ. It's not religion. It's a relationship. And relationship, be intentional about your relationship with Christ. Spend time with Him. He's already wanting to spend time with you. He wants that. You know? He wants that. So good. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Worship is not just merely a particular time during the week. Devoted, for instance, Sunday morning. We were worshiping God through some songs. Worship is not just singing how great is our God. Sing with me how great. That's good too. But worship is putting in action. Living a lifestyle devoted to making much of Christ in your life. Worshiping is applying the word of God. You see, Sunday morning is a good outflowing of work. It's Sunday morning when we come to celebrate. We come Sunday morning to testify publicly together. The Lord is good. That's what we come to do. A Christ-centric aim in worship is an essential component in the life of disciple. I'm going to repeat that. A Christ-centric aim in worship is an essential component in the life of a disciple. That's why I would ask you to take time to worship the Lord. Take time to worship, to adore Him. To adore Him for who He is. Not just ask Him for things. But to join your heart with the angels singing, holy, worthy are you, Lord. You know, the response of a disciple is an act of obedience, not a confession of faith. The hallmark trait of a disciple is not merely an outward acknowledgement of faith. It's more than saying I'm a Christian. But you must follow Christ. Your life should be a, not a beacon, but a beacon. Yeah, last week we had a nice joke about being a beacon of light. And Dan came to me, Dan Corley. I love Dan, man. He's like, well, Pastor, if we should be a beacon, if you're going to be a beacon of light, I want to be a sausage of peace. So yeah, you know, our hallmark, the hallmark trait of a disciple is not just the outward knowledge of Christ. What is it? Rather, it's an inward affection that bleeds and colors one's life in Christ. See, when people see you, let them experience the salt. Let them experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that surpasses all understanding. The other thing, a disciple serve. Why? Because the master has come not to serve, but not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. His followers ought to have the same mind and attitude. So us as a servant, as disciple of Christ, should be servant. As your pastor, I am your servant. I'm here to serve you. Of course, we serve each other. But my mindset as a disciple of Christ, when I read the Bible, I see my master, he was a servant. In my home, I serve my wife, I serve my kids, I serve my community, I serve my country. That's what we do. You know, this service is to be played out at least in two ways. The first way is to love people. How simple is that? We talk about this and thank God that Lynchtown Community Church is a place for love. It's a place where we accept people for who they are, where they're at. It's a place where we honor you. And there's enough forgiveness. It's a place where we give room to the Holy Spirit. Because we are disciples of Christ, so therefore, what are we going to do? We're going to serve people. We're going to serve one another. You see, the Lord has also given us this, the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, we've got all the gifts to serve one another. We serve one another in our home groups, in our cell groups, in our care group, whatever we call it, in our church, in our homes. We serve people. A disciple of Christ loves the lost. Be compassionate. Receive the compassion of Christ. When you see somebody who is just wasting their life, you shouldn't judge them. You should love them and pray for them. That's what it's about. That is the attitude of a disciple of Christ. You know, a disciple of Christ is also a member of the family of Christ. We read in 1 Corinthians that we are part of the body of Christ. See, my body is one. My hands and my feet, my toes, everything function together. We, as the body of Christ, we should function together. We love each other. We there for one another. We support one another. I've talked about this maybe last year, but I'm going to say, remind you again. When one of us is hurting, we don't talk about it. Because when you remember that thumb, the sore thumb I had trying to go surfing with Dan? Maybe I should try it again. That sore thumb I had, I mean, sometimes it's still a little sore because I think I really almost damaged that thumb. But every other part in my body suffered with this thumb. It's the same thing for the body of Christ. When you and a disciple understand the importance of being part of the body of Christ, we understand that you do not forsake the assembly of the body of Christ. Because if you do, you know, just imagine if my thumb would just pop out, beep, and then start doing his thing. Then that's not a body. You know, he's not part of the body. I hope you got the picture. And then a disciple of Christ is a proclaimer of the kingdom's gospel. And I tell you, the best way to proclaim the kingdom gospel is to live it out loud. A disciple of Christ are called to make known the message of God's. Make people know that there is the kingdom is at hand. A disciple is not just, remember, it's not just about preaching, but it's about exercising, just living out loud the truth that you know from the Word of God in your everyday walk, at the store, in your interaction with people. You know, I was talking to a Christian a couple weeks ago. He told me, he's like, you know, I'm not a patient man. I know some of us, I used to be impatient, but you know, the more you spend time with the Lord, the more you dwell, the more you dwell, the more you hang out with Father, with Abba Father, the more you hang out with the Holy Spirit, the more you hang out in the Word of God, in worship, the more you become like Him. And Jesus is a very patient man. If He wasn't patient, I tell you, you would be in big trouble. You would be in big trouble. You see, to participate in the mind of Christ is to have our own mind shaped and directed by the mind of Christ. Or by all Christ says. To participate in the mind of Christ is to have our own minds shaped and directed by Christ's call to faith and obedience. Because Christ uses the word to call us to salvation, we have to continue to approach the Word of God with reverence, knowing that the Word of God has everything for us to continue to live, to learn and live a life of godliness. Hallelujah. Oh man, this is so good. You know, because Christ Himself speaks to us through His Word, this same Word will overwhelm us. And I pray today, I pray in the name of Jesus, as I speak, as you listen to my voice, that the Word of God would pierce your heart. You would come under conviction. Hallelujah. The Word of God would reform your mindset. The Word of God would transform your heart and move all of us to a new place today. You see, when I begin my sermon today, I ask you a question. What did it cost Jesus to come after us? You know the answer. He cost Him all. It cost Him everything. Now, the personal question I want to leave you with is, what will it cost you to be a devoted disciple of Christ? What will it cost you to be a devoted disciple of Christ? I read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, Jesus said, "If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up, if you give your life for me, I will find it." You know, this is, I think the last time I had home group, this is one of the questions I let everybody to go home with. What is it costing you to follow Jesus? You know, most people can't follow Jesus because the price is too high. Maybe today you're here and you've been compromising. And I'm calling you to repentance. I'm calling you to a time of repentance. And I want to finish with these verses. In Psalm 119, verse 133, I read, direct my steps according to your words. Let no sin rule over me. This is a prayer David prayed. Lord, direct our steps according to your word. Oh, let us live according to your word, God. You see, John 8, verse 12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said to them, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Whoever follows me, hallelujah, this is the good news. Whoever follows Him will not stumble. Church, let's follow Him. Let's follow Jesus. Let's keep our eyes on Him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, "May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance." Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4, "It is the Lord your God you must follow, and Him you must revere. Keep His commands and obey Him, serve Him, and hold fast to Him." Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me, end of quote, word of Jesus Christ. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So you will continue to be a disciple of Christ by following him through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Guys, I depend on the Holy Spirit. I can't live without him. I can't. I don't want to live without. I can't live without him. The Holy Spirit is life to the church. The Holy Spirit is life to the Christian. You see, if you're not dwelling, if you're not hanging out with him, you know what's going to happen to you. You will run dry. You will run dry. That's why your life, your spiritual life, depends on feeding yourself in the Holy of Holies, in feeding yourself in intimacy with the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, remember, a follower is an imitator. So imitate God. Bless all those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. Psalm 128. John chapter 12, verse 26. Whoever serves me must follow me. This is the word of Jesus Christ. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. This is to you. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. So don't be afraid to suffer. yes. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And I'll end up with these verses. John chapter 8, verse 20, 31. It's Jesus told him, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How will you be set free? By knowing the truth, by holding to his commandments. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, the rich man, he told him, go sell your possession, give the money to the poor, and then come follow me. Do as I do. In the same way, faith without action is dead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And I'm going to read this last verse, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Now may God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. Hallelujah. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now let me ask you this. Jesus gave all. He gave it all to come after us. What will you give to be his devoted disciples this morning? What is the Lord telling you? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. And God, we ask right now, even in the next minute, the next song, God, we give you time. I'm going to give you some time to just ponder. If any of you wants prayer, I want you to come forward. And I'm asking Sam and Aaron to just make themselves available even after the service. But give time, guys. Give time to the Holy Spirit. Respond to the word of the Lord this morning. If you hear, if God was talking to you, and I know, the word of the Lord never go out in vain. If the Lord is speaking to you today, if you're watching online and the Lord's speaking to you, and you know you've been slacking in following Him, this would be a good time to rededicate your life once again to the cause of following Him. Father, I thank You for Your word today. And Lord, we surround our hearts to You. We will follow You. We choose You. We choose You, Father. The price to follow You will cost us everything. So therefore, it is a privilege to know You. God, I pray that You baptize our heart with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives us boldness. The Holy Spirit gives us all the ability to live a godly life. So I thank You for what You're doing in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.